Hello, Christian singles. Welcome back to another podcast episode of Single Plus. I'm Daria White Osa, and thank you all so much for tuning in. Subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. You can also follow at My Single Plus on Instagram. For today's episode, this literally came to me in my quiet time, and I definitely want to flesh it out as I share, because this particular story is familiar. It's found in the book of Joshua, and if you grew up in church like me, you probably know the song, Joshua won the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. But when you look at this story, there is a process that happens before the Israelites see victory in taking over the city of Jericho. And how does this relate to singleness? Well, a lot of us are waiting for the victory, right? Victory meaning the relationship. Maybe you're seeking to get engaged. Maybe you've been desiring marriage for a long time and you haven't seen anything happen in that particular regard. And I want to encourage you, as someone that went from being single for 12 years with no prospects, and even though there were guys in between during those 12 years, nothing ever came of it. Everything always fizzled out. I either never heard from him again, or we didn't have a lot in common to begin with, or like I said, the conversation just died out. There was no consistency. So you begin to wonder after a while, like, okay, Lord, did I do something? Is it me? Am I not going to meet someone that I can do life with? So I definitely understand and I empathize, but I also want you to know, and I can again attest to the fact that there is a process between when God promises you something, and that doesn't mean that marriage is promised, but if you're waiting on anything, whether it's marriage, whether it's a particular breakthrough in your life, if that desire is there, it's for a reason. And yes, sometimes our desires come from selfish ambition. Sometimes our desires have the wrong motives, but I believe that the majority of Christian singles want to be married for the right reasons. They want to share their life with somebody. I believe that's a good reason. They want to do life with someone in terms of working together in the kingdom to give God glory. And again, just being an example to the body of Christ of what a kingdom marriage should look like. Maybe some of them want to have children and they want to continue the legacy of faith and pass on their faith to their children and raise them in the Lord. So there are a lot of those out here who have good intentions, but sometimes, you know, there feels like there's a gap between that desire and it actually being fulfilled. So again, I'm not saying that marriage is promised, but in the case of this story with the Israelites and with them going into Jericho to take over the city, God had said that he would be with Joshua and he would give them victory. But I want to back it up, because when Joshua sends the spies, that is documented, and you can definitely read this in your own quiet time. That is documented in chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, and it says, verse 1, Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So just to sum it all up, they hid in Rahab's house. She made sure that they were not captured, because the king ends up like, okay, we need to get these men. They're scoping out the land. We've heard about them. We've heard about their God. This can't be good if they're coming into the city. But Rahab, if you read further along in the story, Rahab had heard so much about the God of Israel that she believed. And she was like, we've heard so much of how he dried up the waters for you all. Our hearts melted. It's like, we know that we can't stand up against you. So she asks these spies that, because I showed kindness to you, because I hid and protected you, would you please spare me and my family when you all take over the city? And so if you know the story, they keep their word. They tell her to hang a cord outside of her home to signify that they would be spared. And it says, just to make sure that I have it correctly, let's go to verse 17. So the men said to her, We will be blameless of this oath of yours with which you have made us swear, unless we come into the land you
bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. So again, they promised to protect Rahab, her parents, her brothers, her sisters, her family, while they are overtaking the city. So all this happens in chapter 2. Okay, but the verse that I want to point out is verse 24 of chapter 2, when the spies come back to Joshua. And they said to Joshua, "Truly, the Lord has delivered the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." They're saying, look, this land is definitely worth the taking. We can do this. We can conquer it, because these people, again, they've heard of us. They heard of our God, and they know that they don't stand a chance against us. So we're seeing that the land has been scoped out. They see that the promise is so close, right? It's so close to coming to pass. But if you continue reading through the book of Joshua, it doesn't talk about them taking over Jericho until chapter 6. They went out and scoped the land in chapter 2. They didn't take the land until chapter 6. So we have chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and then chapter 6. So what do you do when, again, you know that this is, you're believing for it, you're praying to God about this? Now, in this case, for the Israelites, like, the land was promised to them. But let's say in your case, you've been praying about something, you've been believing for something, and it feels like there is a gap between your chapter 2 and your chapter 6. Well, a lot happened in between before the Israelites were able to take the city. And I like how my Bible gives headings. I have a new King James Bible. So the heading for chapter 3 is Israel crosses the Jordan. So first and foremost, they had to cross the Jordan River before they could take the city of Jericho. And then if you continue in chapter 4, the title or the heading for this chapter is the memorial stones. And verse 1 of chapter 4 in Joshua says, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man for every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight." So God wanted them to remember. God wanted them to remember they had just crossed the Jordan, and God wanted all 12 tribes to take stones so that they would remember. And if you skip down to verse 15, it says, "The Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come up from the Jordan. It came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord came from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry ground, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed and all its banks as before." So just as God had preserved them for them to and led them to cross the Red Sea, we're seeing again God providing a way through the Jordan River. And so it's possible. Again, I don't know what may be going on in your life individually, but again, I'm seeing a pattern of some things have to happen before we get to that promised land. And yes, I wish things could happen right away. I wish that when we pray for something, boom, you know, there it is. But God's not Santa Claus. God is not a genie. And it very well is possible that things need to take place before you step into your own promised land. Being a relationship, being engagement, be it marriage, whatever the case may be, it very well could be some things need to take place. And then in chapter 5, God commands Joshua to have the men circumcised. Well, as it turns out, the generation that was with Moses, they were circumcised, but their children had not been circumcised. And back then, circumcision was a part of God's covenant with his people, again, to show that they were different from other people, other religions. So cutting some things off. What is possibly in your life that may need to be cut off? Maybe you have taken the time to remember, as it's depicted in chapter 4. Maybe you have taken that time to remember where God has brought you from, and you've taken the time to just reflect, like, you know what, God, I thought I would have this by now, but you've been faithful. But now it's possible maybe you're in a phase where some things need to be cut off. Now, I'm not talking about, because a lot of us, I was listening to a sermon just this past weekend, how our cutoff game is strong for some of us. And as soon as one bad thing happens, before we get an explanation, before we get the meaning or why it happened, we cut things off, right? We live in a world where this cancel culture is real. So if we see something that we don't like, we immediately cut it off, we block it. And I'm not saying that it's not good to cut some things off, but at the same time, we want to be discerning. Because if something is in your life that God is using to grow you and mature you, but you just don't like it because of whatever reason, that's not something to cut off. Like, if you have godly community that is pouring into you and they're correcting you in love, that's not the time to cut them off. No. But if you're in relationships that aren't conducive to your walk with the Lord, if you're in relationships that aren't propelling you into your purpose and where God is taking you, you need to reevaluate that. Like, is this helping me? Is this relationship helping me? And think about it. Is this relationship drawing you closer to the Lord? Is this relationship helping you grow? Is this relationship helping you mature? And it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic relationships. Are your friendships helping you? Even down to family relationships. That doesn't mean that we necessarily have to cut off family, because every circumstance is different. But if your family, if you're the only one that's saved in your family and they're giving you all this advice and it's worldly and it's carnal, you may have to limit your intake. Like, hey, I appreciate it, but I'm following the Lord. So while I do love and appreciate your opinion, I'm going to seek the Lord as my final answer on this particular situation. So what may need to be cut off? What may need to be put in a boundary for you? What may need to be let go of before you move into that promised land that you've been praying for, that breakthrough that you've been asking the Lord for? And it's hard to cut things off. It is. It's hard to walk away from things, especially when there's an emotional attachment to it. And even in my own singleness journey prior to getting married, there were some things that God wanted me to cut off. It wasn't necessarily people. Sometimes the things that we need to cut off are things in our own flesh. And honestly, that's probably most of the time, right? Because our flesh wants what it wants. It's selfish. It only thinks about itself. So when God takes you through that season of, like, you need to get rid of this, you need to shed this off, this baggage needs to be let go of. And when God revealed that to me in 2015, when I was really, really praying and my heart was just heavy and I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. You know, I don't understand why I haven't met my husband. You know, I thought I did this right. I thought I did that right. But God revealed to me, there's some things we got to work on. There's some things you need to let go of. There's some baggage that we need to take care of. And I'm not saying that that was easy. Healing is messy. Dealing with that stuff is hard. But I'm so glad I did, because by the time I met my husband, that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect when you meet your spouse. But by the time I met my husband, a lot of healing had already taken place. So my husband did not have to deal with certain things with me. So God, honestly, I say this when people ask me the question, you know, what was it like? God really saved my husband from the worst version of me. God needed to mature me. God needed to grow me. And I'm not saying that that healing couldn't have taken place in a relationship, because sometimes God can bring healing through your spouse. God can definitely work through your spouse to bring another layer of healing that you never experienced before. So that is possible. But if you let God do a lot of that work prior to meeting your spouse is going to be so, so grateful that you did that. And I'm grateful that I did that. So what may need to be cut off? What may need to be shedded? And then around verse 13 of chapter 5 in Joshua, it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite with him, his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So Joshua was ready to fight. It's like, look, make it plain. Are you on our side, or are you for our enemies? And the man responded. So he said, no, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And Joshua did so. Sound familiar, right? A little different, because when God first appeared to Moses, he came in the form of a burning bush, but he still said the same thing to Moses: "Take the sandals off your feet, for where you stand is holy ground." So we're seeing a similar story with Joshua. And then as you go into chapter 6, he gets directions on what to do, how to take the city. So are you in a season? If you've taken the time to reflect and remember, that's one. If you've cut some things off that you know don't belong and they aren't helping you towards your purpose, are you in a season where you need to listen for the Lord's instructions before you enter into the next season that you want to be in? Are you in a season that you need to be listening for him? Because I have to tell you, it's interesting how this really kind of is similar to my own personal walk. I mean, I did take, without me realizing it actually until now, I did take the time to reflect and remember where, you know, God had brought me from, you know, and just being grateful for where he had me and the progress that I had made in my life and the growth that was taking place spiritually. And then again, he had me cut some things off. And then once we get into this area of instructions, God did lead me at the height of the pandemic going into, I would say probably mid-2020, going into 2021, God led me, like he pressed on my heart to get involved in online community. And if you know me personally, 9 times out of 10, I'm not on social media like that. And I really am like, God, I don't know about that. I don't know. I really can't tell you what my reservations were, but I really wasn't feeling that. But God put it on my heart to get involved more in online community. And because of that, I ended up attending a couple of online conferences that were specific to Christian singles, and they really, really blessed me. I got to meet some incredible people virtually. I have met some in person, but during that time, we were only able to meet virtually. So there were a lot of Zoom calls. I was on some prayer calls. There were some game nights. I also attended like a singles mixer. And again, with the conferences and meeting people who attended the conferences as well and interacting with them. So here I am getting more involved in community, getting out of my comfort zone. And the next thing I know, I see a post in July of 2021 that really, really blessed me. And it was written by my husband. So had I not been obedient to God's instructions the latter part of 2020 going into 2021, I would have missed. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have met my husband some other way, because, you know, if it's God's will, you're going to collide with his will. But it probably would have taken longer had I not been obedient. So which phase are you in? Are you in a phase where God wants you to spend time with him and reflect on his goodness and just soak in his presence and soak in his word? Or are you in a season where things need to be cut off? Or are you in a season where you need to be listening for his instructions on what to do next? Again, this is not to over-spiritualize dating, because some of us can take that to the other extreme and we're like, okay, Lord, I'm looking for a sign. If there are two birds in the sky, or God, if I see a plane flying over, or God, you know, if there's a rainbow, it's like some of us take it too far. I'm not saying to over-spiritualize this thing, but you can partner with God when it comes to your dating life. You can partner with God when it comes to your love life and trust him with it. I don't know why some of us as Christian singles feel like God is just holding this area back from us. And I do not believe that at all. When I reflect on 9 months of marriage and I see the impact that my husband and I have made together so far, I'm like, God, it was worth the wait. Was it easy? No. Did it have its times where I was, you know, discouraged? Absolutely. And I'm not saying that every day is going to be perfect, okay? I'm not saying that you're going to have days where you feel nothing and it's just smooth sailing and you're always content. No, you definitely have to, you know, press through those moments where it feels hard. But at the end of the day, do you want God's will for your life? That's the question that all of us have to answer. Do you truly want the will of God for your life? Do you want that? Think about it, reflect on it, pray about it. And again, I hope that this is encouraging more than anything, because I really believe that this is strategic in the spirit realm, because I do believe that God wants more kingdom marriages, and the enemy is after that because he wants to distort what marriage, what true marriage represents. True marriage, the way that God intended it for a husband and a wife, is to reflect Jesus Christ and the church in the earth. So no wonder Satan comes after in the early stages in your singleness, and he uses heartbreak. He uses disappointment to weigh you down, to wear you out so much that either you give up on it or you settle. And a lot of Christian singles are settling. A lot of Christian singles are giving up. They have given into being just bitter and resentful. There's a lot of cynicism in their language, and you can just hear it. You can hear the resentment. You can hear the anger. A lot of them maybe won't admit it because they don't want to come across that they're mad or angry with God. But the truth is they are. They are angry with God. They are mad. They feel let down. But I'm going to ask again, how bad do you want the will of God for your life, that even if it doesn't happen in the timing that you think it should happen, do you still trust him with your life? Do you still trust him with your heart? So I encourage you to read the book of Joshua. Again, this came to me during my quiet time, and I was like, okay, I got to record this right now before I forget, Jesus. So just, again, just to reflect in terms of the steps. And again, these steps are not set in stone. I'm not saying that this is a formula. This is not about following a formula, okay? Because all of us are on different paths. All of us are on different journeys that God has us on. My story is going to be different from your story. But are you in a season one of reflection where God just wants you spending your time with him, maximizing that season with him? Two, are you in a season where things need to be cut off, where boundaries need to be set? Maybe things need to be shed, where you need to let it go, mature, and grow. And then finally, are you in a season where you need to listen for the voice of the Lord to give you your next instructions? So ask the Lord as you take this time to discern where you are, and then follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So Father, thank you so much for those that are listening right now. Father, I pray that we would be able to discern what season we are in. Father, for some of us, you may have us in a season of memorial, maybe of remembrance, God, where you just want us to just take time with you. For others, God, we're in a wilderness, or we feel like we're in a season where there's a lot of cutting and there's a lot of shedding, Lord God, and it may be painful because our flesh wants what it wants. Our flesh is selfish. Our flesh is self-seeking. But Father, I pray that we would submit to you during this time, realizing that everything that we shed, first and foremost, if it doesn't give you glory, we don't want it anyway. We shouldn't. So Father, I pray that you would help change our taste buds, help change our spiritual taste buds, that if we've been still craving the things of the world, if we've been craving carnality, if we've been craving lukewarmness, Father, just as someone has to change their palate to eat healthier foods, Father, change our palate spiritually so that we crave more of your spirit and less of our flesh. And then finally, God, if we're in a season where we need to listen for your voice, and listen for your instructions through your word, Father, I pray that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that we would, again, just stay in tune with you, be in step with you, God. That way, when you give the word, that way, Father, when you are leading us, we know that it's you. We know that it's you, and you're never going to tell us anything, Father, that contradicts your word. So may we seek you in your word first. Some of us, Father, are just waiting for a word. We want a spoken word, but Father, the spoken word has already been written. There are 66 books, and Father, I pray that we would seek you, Father, in those 66 books, and that, again, when those gray areas, maybe questions, Father, that maybe aren't as black and white in your word, Father, that's where Holy Spirit comes in. He's there to fill in the gaps. He's there, Father, to fill in those spaces, to make everything clear, Father. And I just pray, Lord God, that wherever these listeners find themselves in, Lord, I pray first and foremost that they would seek to do your will more than anything else. May we seek to do your will more than anything else. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all once again. Subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. You can also follow at My Single Plus on Instagram. And if you're looking for godly community, you can go to the ChristianSinglesHub.com. We have in-person events, an in-person retreat coming up. There's also online events. There is a hub platform where you can get involved and meet Christian singles from all over the world. And currently, the Christian Singles Hub is on a U.S. tour to travel all over the U.S. to just come together with fellow believers to bring encouragement, support, encouragement, and again, just point people to Jesus. So thank you all so much for tuning in, and I will talk to you all next time. Have a good one. Bye.